ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Our most respected brothers and elders, ulama ikram, each and every one of us sitting here is so fortunate, we are extremely fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, with this kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. This is the greatest gift a person can ever have. Why? It is because of this iman that a person will enter the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with Jannah. And if a person is deprived of iman, then forever and ever Allah protect us, this person will suffer everlasting punishment and doom in the fire of Jahannam. So this iman is a very, very valuable gift. Most valuable. We may have experienced a situation where we had a few hundred rand in our pockets, maybe. And we were walking in the streets. And we're always checking our pockets, that we mustn't be pickpocketed, especially we understand it better in our country. We live in a place called South Africa. And at all times people are getting mugged and people are getting robbed. We're always checking our pockets. Is that money still there? What is a few rand, few hundred rand compared to the bounty of iman? It is because this few hundred rand, if you lost it, if it got stolen, then there's always an opportunity to recover it. But when we lose our iman, Allah protect us, then there's no second chance. There's no opportunity of coming back into this dunya. It's forever and ever, either everlasting success if you have this iman, or everlasting failure if we lose this iman. So this is the thing. And one is to have the bounty. But how we understand, when we have something valuable, we have to protect it. Likewise, this iman, there's no guarantee for a person that he's going to leave this world with iman. So this should be our worry, this should be our fikr, this should be our concern, that how we can leave this world with iman. In fact, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were guaranteed Jannah by none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Great Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Yet they were also worried about their iman. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding him that if there was a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. He himself given guarantee of Jannah by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he says, he tells Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, another senior companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was known as Sahibu Sir. He used to keep the secrets of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given him the list of the munafiqeen. So Umar radiallahu anhu asks him or tells him that I'm not asking you to give me the list of the munafiqeen. That's a secret that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave you. All I'm asking you is just tell me if Umar's name is there. So this was the concern of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who were guaranteed Jannah, but they were always worried about their iman. And Shaitan is our open enemy, as declared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. His whole effort is to rob our iman. So these were Sahaba who were guaranteed Jannat, and there's no guarantee for us. So we should have, imagine how much more worry and more fikr, more concern we should have for protection of our iman. There was a great jurist, famous Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, when he is in his last moments, his son Abdullah is beside him. And he's in and out of the state of consciousness. When he wakes up a few times, then he, with a gesture of his hand, he's saying, not yet, not yet. So his son Abdullah asks him that, what is the matter, O my father? So he replies that Shaitan had come to me now and he's telling me that, O Ahmad, now you have been saved from me. So he said, not yet, not yet. Till the last moment, if I don't leave with Iman, then I'm not safe. So this was the worry, this was the concern of our pious predecessors of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So, what are the reasons or what are the causes for losing a person's Iman? And what are the means of protecting a person's Iman? So, very basically, very simply, the primary reason for the loss of our Iman is the involvement in sin, is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is constantly, or at all times, he's reckless, he's negligent, he doesn't worry about the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is a means of a person losing his Iman. In the hadith we learn that when a person commits a sin, then a black dot appears on his heart. And if he makes tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wash it out. But if he continues in this manner, if he continues sinning, then his entire heart becomes engulfed in darkness. His entire heart becomes black. And then no good can enter that heart. That heart becomes sealed. So when this heart is sealed and no good can enter it, then eventually a person will lose his Iman and a person will die in this condition. As his family said, كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَهُونَ. As you live, so shall you die. And as you die, that is how you will be resurrected. So the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'asiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this continuous sinning and not being worried about breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will cause a person to lose his Iman. In fact, we learn in our hadith that a person who misses his salah, who leaves out his salah, then this person, the words of the hadith is very, very stern and very strong. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this person is a kafir. Although ulama don't explain it like that if a person does not perform his salah, he's a kafir. But nevertheless, the words of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very stern and very strong. In another hadith, we are in the season of Hajj, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali brings a narration, and he mentions that the ulama of hadith, they have questioned the authenticity of the narration, but nonetheless the words are very, 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 very severe and very strong. Rasulullah mentions that a person who has the means to perform Hajj and he doesn't do so, then فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَن يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًا. There's nothing upon him, there's no matter if he dies as a Jew or Christian. So very, very strong, very, very stern warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was most merciful, most kind. Yes, look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is for us to judge ourselves, not to judge others, but put ourselves in that hadith and see where do we fit in. So we should keep this in mind. Continuous sinning, not worried about the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, causes a person to lose Iman. The hadith which was mentioned now is for ourselves. Ulama don't explain it that a person will lose his Iman, but it can be a means of a person losing his iman if he rejects the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why also one point to note, that we shouldn't self study. We should find out from the ulama what's the correct meaning. Don't just open any kitab and any book on deen and get our own understanding, but find out from the proper sources. So this continuing is a means of us losing our Iman. Another reason for a person losing his Iman is he disrespects the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has love for the ways of the kuffar. Maybe outwardly he's practicing on the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he has love and he has that reverence and he has that awe for the commandments and for the way of the kuffar. There's an incident mentioned of a person in Makkah Mukarramah, was a learned person, and he passed away. And they buried him, and as is the practice in those lands, in those places, very quickly the grave is opened up again due to the number of burials that take place. And when they open up that particular grave, instead of finding his body, they found the body of a revert Christian lady who had accepted Islam. So obviously this was surprising, and everyone was shocked. What is the matter? So after inquiry, they investigate the matter. They open this lady's grave, who was buried in France, and they found that the body of this learned person was in that particular land. So they contact the family of this learned person who passed away in Makkah Mukarrama, and they contact his wife and ask her what is the matter, what deed did your husband do? This is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah His sacrifices, his life. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Quran is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِفًا. Follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. One common feature, the theme in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever it was, he was ready to submit to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim, Allah is the lawmaker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of wisdom, Allah knows why he placed particular laws, whether we understand the laws or whether we don't understand the laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, as law has wisdom in it. Whether it comes to inheritance, where the male receives double. One is the wisdom, ulama will explain. But the reason best is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should accept it wholeheartedly. Otherwise it's great danger for our iman, questioning why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it like this, why it's not like that. Whether we understand it or whether we don't understand it, we should accept the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he accepted and totally submitted when he was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave his wife and his infant child in the Makkah of that time, not the Makkah of today. No people around, no water, no vegetation, no outer means of survival, very few, a little bit of provision he left, death staring in the face. He was ready to submit to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he was ordered to slaughter his son, imagine at that ripe old age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with a child, and we know what affection is when it comes to that child, and in his old age is blessed with this son. What hopes there must have been, and he's ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outwardly to our mind, it doesn't make sense. But why should I slaughter my young son? How it makes sense? But he was ready to submit to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should be our attitude. This should be our way, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the way of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Whether we understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should totally submit to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is definitely, we are insan, we will make mistakes, but it's not so serious. If a person understands his mistake, and he understands that I am mistaken, I am wrong, I need to follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But more serious than this, more grave than this, is when a person picks at the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shouldn't be our situation. And what are the means of, on the opposite, contrary to that, what are the means of a person's iman being protected and preserved? Is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The steadfastness in fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will is of a person protecting his iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna Allah, the ayat of Quran, that those who say our Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are steadfast. At the time of their death, the malaika will come to them, and they will give them the glad tidings of Jannah and things of Jannah, and tell them that we are your friends in this world. In this world we were your friends, we were your companions. In the year after also, and you will have in Jannah whatever you wish. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. So a person who is steadfast in the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will be a means of him protecting his iman. And for this, we are insan. We are in this world, and we are in an examination room. It is a test. So they will be that effort and that struggle, that mujahada, that exertion, which is required for us to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be difficult at times. We may not feel inclined to fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may feel lazy. And shaitan will do his work. He will tempt us. He will cast his wasawis, his whisperings. This is the job of shaitan. But to go against that. And each person has that capacity within him. Each person has that ability within him to go against his desire and the whisperings of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it within us. We just have to make that effort and that sacrifice when we are tempted. And all of us understanding, we didn't pass the month of Ramadan. Not very long ago we passed the month of Ramadan. And what stops a person from drinking that cool glass of water after a hard day of work? A person is very, very hungry. He's alone, nobody is watching him, but he goes against his desire, he fights that temptation, and he fulfills the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this fulfilling the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires mujahada, and all of us have it within us to make this mujahada. Sometimes it is difficult, and what makes it difficult? One is the shaitan's whispering, but what makes it more difficult is when we are negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the heart is not dhakir. What will make it easy for us to make this mujahada? When the heart is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will make it easy for us to make that mujahada and to make that struggle and to fight that nafs and to fight shaitan. Dawamu dhikr leads to dawamu ta'a. A person who's constantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will lead to dawamu ta'a. Constantly will be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how to make the heart dhakir, how to make the heart conscious? There are many, many things. And amongst them is the recitation of Qur'an. Tilawat of Qur'an, and not just mere recitation. That is definitely in its place. That has its own merit. Each letter has its virtue. Minimum 10 rewards. Every letter a person recites, he will receive. But together with that, tilawat of Qur'an, with tafakkur, with tadabbur, with pondering. So we may ask the question that not all of us are familiar with the Arabic language. How should we ponder and recite the Qur'an? So make two sessions. One session, we finish whatever tilawat we have to read for the day. And together with that, few minutes a day, 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes, take one authentic tafsir, find out from the ulama ikram, take one authentic translation of Qur'an. Find out from them, if you are unsure of a certain passage, find out from them what it means, and read on a daily basis. We are reading so many things on a daily basis, but few minutes to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, his statement is this, that don't rush, and be hasty in reciting the Qur'an. Take your time, pause over its wonders. And don't hurry to finish a surah. Pause over the meaning of, and contemplate over the meaning of Quran. This was the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, a very, very great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this recitation of Quran, this will polish the hearts. In one narration, it is mentioned, as the Shaykh Tulali mentions in his kitab Fada'il Amal. That these hearts get rusted. In هذه القلوب تسطع كما يسطع الحديد إذا أصابه الماء. These hearts get rusted just as iron gets rusted when water is put to it. وما جلاؤها, what is polish, what is this cleansing agent? كثرة ذكر الموت وتلاوة القرآن. The excessive remembrance of death and the recitation of Quran. So recitation of Quran with تدبر وتفكر. It was a statement of Ali رضي الله عنه. That whenever I desired to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I would perform salah. And whenever I desire that Allah speaks to me, then I would open the book of Allah and I would read from Quran. So this tilawat of Quran with tadabbur, with tafakkur. Then together with that, what will make the heart dhakir on a daily basis in the morning and evening, the mashayikh, the ulama ikram, they advise us to recite the tasbihat, masnoon adhkar, the dhikr of the third kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Few minutes it will take us. One is we can just go through the numbers, count the numbers, roll the beads. But this is not the objective. Pondering over what we are reciting. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is free from every fault, every blemish. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is none worthy of worship except Allah. This will this will make the heart dhakir and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asks him for advice. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many commandments in deen. Obviously the fara'id, all those things were in place, but to attain that perfection in each and everything is difficult. So give me some advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to him, لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. Your tongue should be moist at all times with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that your iman gets worn out. So how do we renew our iman? The sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, so أكثروا من قول لا إله إلا الله. قول لا إله إلا الله. Excessively recite لا إله إلا الله. So the masnoon adhkar, the dhikr of لا إله إلا الله, when we are walking, when we are something not difficult, when we are engaged in something where our tongues can move with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then very, very importantly is the masnoon du'as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa taught us many, many du'as. Eating du'as, sleeping du'as, du'as for leaving the house, du'as for entering the house. These du'as should be learnt, and this will keep the heart dhakir, keep the heart conscious. And when the heart is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when shaitan casts his whispers, then because we are dhakir, we are always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will make that mujahada easy, and this will enable us to fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if this happens, then this is a means of us being steadfast and protecting our iman. So the heart should be alive with the tasbihat, the tongue should move with the tilawat of Quran, with tadabbur and tafakkur, and every day speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In various ayat of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His greatness, His signs, His wonders, His creation, how He created them from nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the heavens, the earth, honor and respect, disgrace. All this is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not very long ago, few years ago, we understood the reality. In Arabic, there's a saying, إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ تَقَلَّبْ تَقَرَّرَ إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ وَدَكَافْ تَقَرَّرَ. If something is repeated, then it will settle. We heard about that virus at that time, and everyone was speaking about it on different platforms. We were getting receiving news of this virus and how harmful it is, without people couldn't even see it with the naked eye. Imagine if a person speaks about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis, what effect this will have on the heart. So speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will make the heart dhakir, and together with that, pondering every day about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will create that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that we shouldn't look at those above us in terms of dunya. We should look at those who have less than us. Every day if we ponder, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the different in'am, the different favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, this will create that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody gives us a gift, and maybe for example, somebody went overseas, he brought for us to the haram of holy lands of Makkah, Madinah, Munawwara, he brought for us one kurta, and then he wants to see it on us. Imagine if he comes to visit us, he finds it on our doorstep, or we're using it as a rag to wipe something. How hurt that person will feel. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our greatest benefactor. Greatest benefactor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is for our understanding, this is just an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no similitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For our understanding, this is the example. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many favors. Imagine if we use our favors, if we use the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every day we ponder over the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will create the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will make the heart dhakir. So when the time comes to make that mujahada, it's easier for us. And every day, together with that, to ponder for a few moments about our own death. That, imagine, right now, and it happens that all the time we hear this news. Next person can be us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. To ponder upon a person's own death on a daily basis. The hadith was mentioned now. What will polish the hearts? One of the things was tilawat of Quran. The other was the excessive remembrance of death. This was at the forefront in the minds of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Every day to ponder upon a person's death. Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. He was in the he was lying in the lap of his wife. Can you imagine the moment, that moment of happiness? And all of a sudden he starts crying and he starts tearing. So his wife also begins to cry. So he asks her, what makes you cry? So she replies that whatever makes, why the fact that you are crying, that makes me cry. So he said, no, the thought passed my mind now that وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. One ayat of Quran says that every one of us will have to cross the sirat, the bridge over Jahannam. I don't know if whether I'll be saved or not. So this was at the forefront in the minds of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, death, the scenes of akhirat. This was a constant thing in their minds. So every day to ponder over a person's death, and then together with that, to have good company. This has been stressed upon in many verses of Quran, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Importance of good company and good environment. We have understood this aspect in the month of Ramadan, where a person, when the environment is conducive, then it will be easier for a person to do a'mal. And the ta'aleem of fada'il, of the virtues, of the rewards of doing good actions and abstaining from evil actions. This will also make the heart zakir. This will also make the heart in that state of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ta'aleem should be a daily thing in our homes, in the masjid, the ta'aleem takes place. Our nature is such that when we are given incentives, we are given rewards for certain things, then automatically we will look forward to do those actions. And when we are warned of certain consequences and punishments, that yaqeen, that conviction will come. These are the words of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how can I abstain from these actions? So on a daily basis, this ta'aleem should take place, and we should be reminded of the rewards of Allah subhanahu, that Allah has promised. When we come to any country or any place, then there's only consequences, this, the laws of a country. There's no reward if a person obeys the command or the law of the government. But Allah is so kind, so merciful. If we fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reward us. And not only that, certain actions are means to the ultimate action. For example, wudu is a means for salah. Salah is the maqsood, salah is the objective. But even for the wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives reward. So this is, on a daily basis, this should take place, where a person is reminded of the virtues. And this will keep the heart zakir. And to make that mujahada as a result will become very, very easy. And then to read the lives of the pious people, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, of the pious personalities in these very same kitabs, Fada'il Amal, Fada'il Sadaqat, this will motivate us. So these are the things that will make the heart conscious. And when the heart is conscious and the heart is dhakir, then to be steadfast in the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be easy. Yes, we are insan, we can make mistakes, we will make mistakes, because this is our nature. We will err, we will sin. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for everyone who is making that effort. Kullu bani Adam khatta'un. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that every child of Adam alayhi salam is a sinner. And khayrul khatta'in at-tawwabun. The best of sinners is the one who makes tawbah, who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. So these are some of the things which will keep our heart dhakir. And the love of the pious people, together with that, some other amal, the love of the pious people. One sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when is qiyamah? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam tells him, what have you prepared for it? So he replies that I don't have much of the nafil, salah, sadaqah, etc. But I do have love for Allah and His Messenger. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with whom he loves. So if he will be the pious will be in Jannah. So if he will be with the pious in Jannah, is a means of a person dying on iman. Then to make the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan took an oath that he will mislead insan. And in the end what he says, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He gave away his secret, that you won't find most of them to be grateful. So if you make the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect our iman. Then to learn those actions which will attain the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person who recites 10 times Durood Sharif in the morning and 10 times Durood Sharif in the evening, he will gain the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is the intercession on a general level, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be given that honor of interceding, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start the reckoning. There's a lengthy riwayat in this regard. There's no time to go into the detail of that riwayat, but the other types of intercession where Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam will intercede for his followers. And we should learn these actions which will enable a person to gain this intercession. Then daily sadaqa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that sadaqa tutfi'u ghadab al-rab wa tadfa'u mitat as-su. That sadaqa extinguishes the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prevents an evil death. So an evil death can mean evil death when it comes to maybe a natural calamity, Allah protect us. But evil death in the sense that also a person is saved from a death of kufr and shirk. A person is given a death of iman and death of iman. And every day lastly to make dua. This is the main thing actually, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the practice of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that daily at the time of Maghrib, that sahabi is guaranteed Jannat. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدِ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Oh Rabb, don't deviate our hearts. In many du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard, du'a, masnoon du'a, before we terminate our salah also, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن شر فتنة المسيح الدجال. A person should make these du'as with meaning. If a person doesn't know the Arabic, obviously in salah, that is a different issue, different mas'ala. But after that, every day on a daily basis, in our own language, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must protect our iman. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with iman, take us with iman, and resurrect us with iman. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.